once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Welcome to Insight on Fort Recovery Radio without Jack Sogler tonight. He's unavailable, but he'll be back next week, and we'll be having our a show about autism. It's National Autism Month, and we're going to have at least one, probably several families that are dealing with autism and talk about what that really is and what it really does, the good and the bad and all of that. But tonight we have our museum director Kim Rammel and Carol Judy with us. Probably I might as well just let you introduce yourself and tell us all of your titles.
Yeah, I have a few. I'm Kim Rammel. I am the current site manager of the Fort Recovery Museum. I am the president of the Fort Recovery Historical Society and president of the Opera House Committee.
You only have three titles?
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, they said you do everything, and it sounds like you do.
She does. She's wonderful.
And Carol?
I'm Carol Judy, and I am one of the board of directors of the Opera House Committee.
We appreciate you guys coming on. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some historical stuff, the opening the museum, some of the programs you have coming up at the museum. We'll get a little bit of information about the progress going on the Opera House and all that kind of thing. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and get into the real stuff here in just a minute or two.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who is dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fort Recovery Elementary and Middle School Drama Club will present Dorothy in Wonderland on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 12th through 14th at the Auditoria at the Middle School. The show features your favorite Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland characters rolled into one show. Tickets will be available at the door and are $8 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 5 get in free. The shows will be presented at 7 p.m. on Friday, April 12th, and 2 p.m. matinees on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. The show is under the direction of Tracy Evers West Curtis and Karen Myring, and the talented students will put on a great show. Make plans now to get to this presentation of Dorothy in Wonderland at the Middle School Auditoria on Friday evening, April 12th at 7 p.m., and Saturday, April 13th at 2 p.m., and Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. Tickets will be available at the door. Don't miss it. Welcome back to Insight. We're speaking with Kim Rammel, the, well, she's in charge of everything, and Carol Judy. So, Kim, museum director, what are the hours coming up for the museum? When is it going to be open?
So our opening day is May 4th, and we're open that weekend on May 4th and the 5th. And we're open from...
That's Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah, okay. Saturday and Sunday. And mm-hmm. we're open from 11 to 4. Those are our normal hours. Mm-hmm. So on that day, I'm going to have a photo exhibit on a PowerPoint, and I'm going to have it running down the basement. It'll be running on a continuous loop all day.
Okay.
And what I did, I took... the museum, or the Historical Society, owns a huge collection of glass negatives.
Oh, yeah, the ones that...
Harry McDaniel.
Harold Ranley.
No, what? Found.
Yeah. Harold Ranley or his son, there's Mike, whole, I think, found them somewhere.
No, there's a whole story, but I'll tell that story. It's
good.
Really good, interesting.
Because it's been 20 years since I've heard the story, but I know it just got...
I got details from the Ranley family, so I had it straight. It's really an interesting story.
Yeah, and they're really good at making sure people know the details of what went on there.
Yeah.
What a treasure Harold was, and then his kids are...
Like, all of them. Yeah. I just talked to Mike yesterday and gave him a copy of the picture so he could help me identify him. So that's kind of cool that Mike's going to be back involved with these photos.
That's great.
Yeah, it was fun talking to him. So I took these glass negatives last year, and I packed them all up. And I actually got a hold of the Ohio History Connection. They scan for their site manager. They're managing partners, and we are a managing partner with the Ohio History Connection. So I got a hold of the person down there that does their curation like that, their digital curation, and they took them all. Like, these are boxes of glass negatives.
Yeah.
So the people from archaeologists had been down. They were working on the fort, so they'd been back and forth to our site. And I said, hey, could you haul all these glass negatives down to Columbus?
So 7 trips later, they got them all there.
This woman came in this little bitty car. And we piled. I said, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? And we piled all those glass negatives and just, I mean, it's a little teeny car.
And then she got rear-ended.
She kind of, her car was squatting as it drove down the road. But she got
rear-ended by a semi on the way. They're all gone.
I was worried.
She
hauled them all down there. It took a couple months, but they got them all.
I can't imagine.
They got them all digitized, and I sent an external hard drive down. They put them all on an external hard drive for me. Then they delivered them all back to the museum. So they're all digitized now. They're all salvaged.
That's great. So we don't have to keep handling those glass negatives.
Right,
we can put those somewhere and leave them, and not, because I can't, I'm sure a couple of them have been broken along the way, because I think if I remember correctly, there were a couple that were cracked to start with,
I put them in pieces so they could actually digitize, they could actually scan them, even the pieces, so I wanted to save everything.
Yeah.
But the reason I really got looking at it is because Mike was in town last year. He goes, you really need to look at getting those taken care of, because they're every year they're sitting there, they're degrading.
A little bit,
So I thought that really got me, like, I got to do something about this. Because I didn't want them to, like, just be so bad that they weren't.
And to pay somebody to do that would have been quite a bit of money.
Exactly.
Because, you know, like you said, it took them a couple months to do it. I mean, they're not going to do that for $100.
Excited when they said they could do it. It was wonderful. So got that done. But the story behind these glass negatives, I thought, where do these come from? And I knew Mike had them, and he lived in some other part. He lives down in Manchester, Ohio.
He was living along the Ohio River, but I don't remember exactly where it was.
I think at the time he was, and he had them, but I didn't know the story about how he got them. Here it turns out there was two bachelor uncles. It would have been...
Ralph.
I'll probably mess this up. It was Sebastian and maybe Ralph.
And Ralph,
but they were, I don't know if they were brothers Chris. That would be like Mike and John's grandfather.
It would have been Harold's uncles, I believe.
Yes.
And they lived where Rose Ranley lives now, like right
and
straight
Harry,
behind us.
I think they came out of, Harry died. I can't remember the year he died, but they all these negatives were pitched out. They were actually brought to the dump. They were at the dump. That's where they found him. Because it was during... Wow. He died in, I think it was 1945. It was during the war. And everybody scavenged the dump for metal. They would go out and get any scrap metal. So they found these glass negatives in the dump. They were ready to be... They were going to be gone.
Yeah.
So they found them, and they hauled them all out, and they went through them, and they didn't want to...
Now, was that the Ranleys that found them?
Yes, these two bachelors. Yeah, and they kept them, and they took out... They didn't want to take anything personal. They didn't think that was right to take any personal photos, but they took some... They kept some of them. Mm-hmm. And then they went to Chris, I think. Then that was the next exchange. And then Harold is son to Chris Ranley. Yeah, that would be the grandpa.
I think so, yeah.
Harold ended up with them. He had them for years, and then Mike was going to photography school, so he decided that Mike should have them because that would be the logical one. So Mike ended up with them, and that was how this chain of events for these glasses, like the traveling glass negatives, you know, they just kind of went from hand to hand. But the Ranleys kept them all these years, so really, it's
and that's a perfect family to have them because they've been around a long time. They and especially Harold understands all of the history and all the stuff that's so
he was a
important.
treasure trove of information.
He's something else. I miss that guy still, but he was just, and Randy was their backdoor neighbor, and he lived at their house half the time. Joanne and
my
Harold
godfather too.
Yeah.
Oh,
Joanne and Harold made his mom send him over their house because he's just Randy, and they wanted him around. So just good people. Now, about how many of those were there? I know there were dozens, but I think there were hundreds.
Mike had a lot, and he had a house fire, but thankfully he had a bulk of them were in a shed on his property outside of the house. So he lost some of them during the fire, lost a lot of notes that he'd taken about the pictures, which was unfortunate.
Oh, yeah.
But the ones we have, I have, I think, 658 images. 658, yeah.
I knew there was a lot.
That's just what we have. Uh-huh. And I found out recently, I read an article in the paper that Joyce Allig, who recently passed away from the Mercer County Historical Society, she had Vincent, who is Harold's son, had brought some to her and some of the glass negatives, and she had borrowed them and scanned them. Well, actually, she didn't scan them. They brought them to the Daily Standard, and they brought them in the dark room, and they developed them. They made prints. So I think they're still over there in the Mercer County, the Riley House?
Yeah.
Someday I'll get in there and see if they have some. Because I like to get all these pictures together.
You know, even if you don't get the pictures, at least copies of the pictures and those kind of things.
Yeah, to scan them. Yeah. So I like to bring them all together because those images that Vincent had were more of the family. Those were his siblings and his mom probably, and so those would be interesting to add to the collection.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mike, back to the Ranleys. Mike had him for years, and then I think Helen Lefevre, he contacted Helen, or they communicated, and Helen drove down, and then she bought those off Mike, you know, for a small amount, and then they came back to the Historical Society, or I don't know how I don't know the exchange there, but we became in possession of them, and they've been with the Historical Society, and some of them have been, they did have some of them scanned, you know, a certain amount of them, but never all of these, you know, there were so many that were stored away that they just didn't, there was no way, there was just so many.
And how would somebody would have to spend a couple of months with that as their job.
Yeah.
It's just, man.
I was talking to Mike last night. The really cool thing about seeing them digitized is that, like, you can take a glass negative and put it up to the light, and you can kind of see what it is.
Yes.
You can see it. Mm-hmm. But once you digitize it, you can zoom in.
Yeah.
And you can see, it's amazing. You zoom in, it's like, oh my gosh, you see so much detail in these pictures.
Yeah.
And like Mike and I were talking, you can take them and you could crop them and take out parts of the pictures and have a whole different a whole different look. You know, it's not just like a whole image. You might have just a part of it.
Yeah, because you might have some people standing in front of the building, and then you could
hone in.
Zoom in on on just the people, or zoom in on certain parts of the building.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, a lot of the buildings are historical and
right.
that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's just
there's one in particular at Stand. There's so many. I've looked at these pictures for months now, so yeah. I kind of, there's one of a church. It's a beautiful picture. It's one of the local churches. I don't know which one. And that's what draws your eye, because it's a big, beautiful church.
But yeah.
Then I zoomed in, and there's these four women standing on the steps. He has them spaced out all over the steps of the church. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's the one of the Wayne Street Bridge. You mainly, when you look at it, you see the bridge, and you zoom in, there's a guy sitting on the all over the bridge.
Oh,
he's got him posed on there.
Yeah.
But you don't notice them so much when you first look at the picture. So it's so fun.
I can't wait for that to see.
Yeah.
I hope you have a six-month exhibit. It'll probably take me that long to look at them.
I picked out, like, my favorites, like 100. Uh-huh. I was trying to hone it down. I was like, how do I do this? Or, like, my babies now. I mean, I love these pictures.
Yeah.
What's really cool, along with this exhibit, this happened just kind of amazingly. The timing was amazing. Linda Niefeldt at the library sent me an email. If Linda, you're listening, thank you again. She sent me an email, and it was to apply for a digital archiving program through the Ohio Library.
Oh, man.
And I thought, oh, gosh. So I applied. I put my application in. Chris Thompson helped me make it all pretty.
Yep. Yep.
And I got it. So I'm right now taking a six-month digital archiving class.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So just an odd question that has come up with several different people over the years. What would Mr. Williams, our history teacher, think of the people that are taking care of 4-H Every History and government?
I have no idea.
I remember a specific time at a town council meeting with John Wolfe as our mayor, and Bill Stogler and Dave Bretz as councilman. And one of them looked at the other, I can't remember who it was, and said, Mr. Williams would just fall out of his chair if he knew we were running the town.
Yeah.
You know, even if you didn't do really well in those classes, you did. They all understood that, you know, the government and the history and all that kind of thing, they're really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't always the A students that ended up doing stuff around here. It was the real people that ended up doing stuff.
My favorite history class was with Pat Niekamp. And I remember distinctly Pat, he would kick back in his chair, and he'd take off his shoes, and he'd have his feet up on his desk. And that was how he taught the class.
That's pretty good. So you didn't have Mr. Williams?
Nope.
Oh, I figured you.
I'm too young. I'm too young, Neil.
I was thinking he taught there till 1990 or something. Maybe not. Apparently not.
No, I don't know.
But anyway.
That's
just one of those things where you just think it's not that A student that went on to be a history major that's taking care of stuff. It's somebody that understood what was going on then and knew it was important, but didn't remember all the details, maybe you were the A student in the class. I don't know, but
I didn't do too bad. I always loved history.
Yep.
But I never foresaw that I'd be where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Why would you think that?
Kind of all fell in my lap.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing how as we get older, that history all of a sudden means so much more to us than it did when we were in high school.
Yeah. And because we've actually lived through seeing buildings torn down and people like Harold Ranley and a whole bunch of other people that know a lot about the town passing away. And you're thinking, we have to
somebody's
make sure somebody has to do this. And I am really, really happy that Bob Hart has taken a project on to get pictures of as many buildings as he can possibly get in this town, past and present.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a real good job with that.
I've heard Bob's really working hard to get it all
and he's
archived well.
He's an extremely organized person besides all of that. So so let's see, you talked about the, are we through talking about the pictures?
Yeah,
is there more?
I could talk, but that's good. I'm kind of excited about these pictures.
Yeah, me too. I've seen some prints of them and all that, but this is just special.
Yeah, it is. It's been a really exciting working with them. I guess for the museum, something new we're doing this year. We're going
to. You said that it's going to open on May 3rd. Now,
May 4th and 5th.
4th and 5th.
That's our opening weekend.
Yeah. So in the month of May, you're open weekends only, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then, then Memorial Day.
After Memorial Day, then we're
then open every day.
Yeah, we're open Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay, not Mondays and Tuesdays.
We're closed Monday and Tuesdays now.
Okay.
And that's worked out well. It really helps. It's hard being open 7 days a week, and most museums aren't.
Yeah.
So I talked to OHC, and they said, yeah, you can just do whatever you want, whatever works.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yep. It's been really nice. I know sometimes people come and they can't get in, but you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Most museums are closed 2 days a week.
Yeah. Yep.
So something new we're adding this year is we're going to do battlefield tours every month. Like every, we chose Sunday. Chris and I are, Chris Thompson and I are alternating months. Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gotten to take the full battleground tour. I've taken little bits of it here and there. And it's awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed. I'm getting better at it. Chris is really good when she's been doing it.
Well, yeah, and she researched all.
Yeah, she did the
article. She wrote the book.
Yeah, right.
Literally.
Yeah, so I'm learning. I listen.
Yeah.
Every time I watch her, and Kevin Nolan comes from Ball State, and he did some through the last event last year, and he's really good too. He's excellent.
Yep.
So Chris and I are going to alternate. Like the first one scheduled is on May 19th. And we are doing them at 12 and 3 o'clock. We're going to do two different bets. So they've been so popular. We're really hoping that it'll draw a lot of people down and they'll enjoy this.
And probably like everything else to do with our museum, 90% of the people will be from out of town because the people in Fort Recovery we don't realize what we have.
Yeah, I hope they start realizing.
Yeah.
I think we're going to offer it enough that I think, you know, there's no excuse not to get down because if it's one Sunday a month. And
Is it going to be like the first Sunday, the fourth Sunday? Is it just kind of whenever you guys can fit it into your schedule?
No, we got it like the May 19th. That's the first one. And then the second one is June 16th. And that's Sunday.
Yep.
And that's where we put it, so it's before and after the parade.
Yep.
We thought that might be kind of a nice time.
I think
to
that's
offer.
Perfect.
Yeah, because people are around, they're in town, so
yep.
I'm hoping that we get a good crowd down.
Is there any kind of limit on how many people can go on this tour?
We're going to use the headsets. So with the headsets, you can take quite a large group. I think you could take up to 40 people easy.
Yeah.
So we do it twice.
There are a whole bunch of other people that, like say the Jubilee, there might be 100 people, but as long as they can still hear what you're saying, it's just better with the headsets.
Yeah.
So you're actually hearing it kind of like we're listening on our headphones right now. There's not the other noise going around. I'm guessing you won't limit it if there's more people than headsets that it won't.
No, because we're outside. So.
Yeah.
Limiting might be the limiting factor might be the weather.
Yeah.
And then the next one would be Sunday, July 21st, and the same thing, 12 and 3 o'clock. And then on that day, we're also having a presenter downstairs, Don and Sheila Painter. They're presenting. They had a presentation put together, and they've done it already. And it's called Ohio See the Signs, and they go around and look at all the different historic landmarks in Ohio, and they do a PowerPoint presentation on that. So Don approached me, him and Sheila, but they come to town. They have a house here, and they don't live here permanently, but they come a lot. And he came in and said, you know, would that be something you'd be interested in? So I said, sure, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're kind of working him in between the
worst thing that happened is you learn something. Even if nobody else is there. there'll be people there. Any time that you've had presenters and you and Nancy before that, there's not necessarily a bunch of town people, but there's people from 100 miles away every time that there's been a presentation there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people get down there for those.
Yeah. So then the next battlefield tour would be August 18th. But these are all on our website. So you don't have to write, you know, look them up. Just go on our website and you'll see all this. The big event would be in, that's going to be in October. And that is October 19th and 20th. And it's kind of along the same lines as what we had last August. It's Beyond the Battlefield. It's basically, we haven't got a title for it, the title worked out totally, but we're going to have, this time it's going to be more tribal members coming. We're going to have speakers. They're going to do more interactive things with people.
The one last year was really good.
I know.
Really
This
good.
One's going to be bigger. So it's like,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Chris put in for a Ohio Humanities grant again. So we'll find out soon if we get this. It's a really good grant, so we're hoping. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm
right. So do you know where you're gonna have that?
It's gonna be on the grounds. I'm renting two tents.
Okay.
To put it in. It won't
fit in the basement.
Nope, it's not gonna fit in the basement.
I just tried that.
I really like the idea of being on the museum grounds.
Yes.
I just love our park, and I want it to be there. I don't want to take it off site. It just
yep.
And I don't like that. This one's going to include 8 tribal citizens from the Ottawa Tribe of Oklahoma, Miami Tribe of Oklahoma, Wyandotte Nation, Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma, and they're going to provide cultural programming and hands-on activity and presentations.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to have, I think, 2 chiefs come and talk to.
Wow.
Chief Glenna Wallace, and I think there's another chief, I can't remember her name, from another tribe. I think it's Ottawa. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So some,
That is...
I know.
You know, but people in this town don't realize what we have. We kind of take it for granted, and we should not, because it's what happened here in especially the first battle, but the second battle also. They're United States history. The entire United States Army was defeated here. Virtually every soldier in the United States Army either was killed, wounded, or deserted here in 1791.
And it had such a huge impact on tribes, too, and the repercussions of what happened to them afterwards.
Yes.
And they just have a strong sense of this was their land. And it's really, I've learned so much from them.
Yeah. And their perspective that's been either lost to history or ignored is really important.
Yeah, or tried to have it erased.
Yeah.
So the last, our exhibit that we had there, this from October to January, we saw over 1,200 people come through the museum. I think that's some, and it was a huge turnout. It was wonderful. And that exhibit is still running. It's at the History Center in Fort Wayne, and it'll be there until May. And then after that, it's going out to Oklahoma for a while. Then it will come back to Ohio, to the Ohio History Center.
Yep, that's great. That's really important. It just really is. It's a whole different perspective on that battle, because you know, everybody thought that was just, these Indians got together and they just all ran at the army. It was a little bit different from that. And then, as you said, all the repercussions of things that happened to the various tribes and all of that. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little bit about some more museum and historical society stuff, and then we'll get into the Opera House. Just back in just a couple minutes.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274.
They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lane's your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Fort Recovery High School baseball team is having a barbecue chicken dinner on Saturday, April 20th, and you can pick up the dinners from 11 to 1 at the new baseball facility. There will also be a baseball game with the Lincoln View Lancers that day, starting at 11 a.m. So bring the family out to the game that day and enjoy the barbecue chicken and the baseball game. The tickets for the chicken dinners are just $10 each, and you get a half a chicken from Wendell's Barbecue, plus applesauce, chips, and a roll. If you're not going to the game, you can just drive through and pick them up. You can contact any of the high school baseball players for tickets, and you can also get them by contacting Wendell's Barbecue at 375-4074. Don't miss out on the baseball team's barbecue chicken dinners this year, available on Saturday, April 20th from 11 to 1 during our home baseball game with Lincoln View.
Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with Kim, and so far we haven't talked to Carol yet, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Carol, Judy.
That's all right. I'm patient.
Yep. Yes, you are. And Kim Rammel has been talking about, she talked about some of the things going on at the museum. What else do we have going on with the museum and or historical society?
So another really exciting thing for me is that exhibit we had last year, the one that everybody came to see, we put in for a grant to have a retractable set of that same exhibit, lack of a better word, shrunk down so it fits in the basement room. So we'll have a permanent, if we get awarded this grant, we'll have a permanent exhibit, just like the one that was in the museum.
Would that be in the meeting room that we usually have things?
Yeah, so it'll be on these pull-up like banners, so we'll be able to put it all around the room. And so, in preparation, because we're going to get this grant.
Is that kind of like the maps were in history class where they pulled them down?
Yeah, or you ever been to like a exhibit, like a trade show or something, where they have these things, they pull them up, and they put all their information on it. They're kind of cool. But it'll be on that type of thing.
Cool.
So, since we're going to get this grant, I just know it. I feel it in my bones. I've decided I'm going to redo the basement room. Anybody remember what the basement room looks like? It was the wallpaper, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
So, we had that, which was not bad. It was, I don't know how many years ago it was put up. Probably, it was quite beautiful when it was put up. It had the flouncy curtains with the red, white, and blue.
Yep.
Flouncy. Yeah, that's a good one. And we just put new security system in, new fire system in, so all the old wiring is still hanging on the wall. There's a lot of extraneous junk on the walls.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm gonna redo this room, right? Yeah. If you got wallpaper on concrete, it's like, it's horrible. It was just horrible, really. I had some volunteers. Thank you, volunteers. You know who you are. But yeah, most of it was like you take a steamer and you just take off inch by inch. You scrape it off, and then it's so awesome. After you get all the wallpaper off, you got to take just water and get all the glue off. So you have to go around the whole room again with
So 45 minutes later.
It's fast. It's fun.
Man.
But it's almost done. And I'm repainting the windows. You should just come just to see this room, because it's a thing of beauty.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is it all done?
No.
So I don't want to come see it now.
Not yet. Give me a little more time. But so I'm doing that. And I'm also starting, we've gotten a lot more volunteers, so I'm starting, OHC encourages the sites to have a volunteer program.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a lot more people working in the gift shop, I got people volunteering for tours, and just, it's growing. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I'm working with a lot, I'm getting like a regular program together, training program.
Yeah,
so
people like to help successful things.
Yeah.
If it's not doing very well, it's really hard to get anybody to volunteer. When you're showing that things are going well, it gets a lot easier to get somebody to get on board.
Yeah.
Part of that is because they don't have to be in charge and they don't have to invent stuff. They just have to go do stuff for a little bit, and people will do that.
Yeah.
If they think that they have to start in and take the opera house from an appliance store to a real opera house, it is really hard to get people to jump in on the bottom floor of that. It is really difficult because that is a gigantic task.
Yeah.
And you guys know that, and you knew that when you jumped in, but you also knew that now that there's grant money available, it can be possible.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, 20 years ago, they tried to get it going, and it's going to take several millions of dollars, and there were no grants for anything. It was just all going to have to be people around here donating money, and that's a lot of, I can't remember what it was. It was going to be a gigantic amount of money. They couldn't get 10% pledged.
Yeah.
So, and it was never going to happen that way.
It's a project you got to bite off in pieces. Just pieces.
And especially now that there's grants to get some of that, and somebody can, and some of them might be matching grants or whatever it might be, but somebody says, I see that's going, so I feel like maybe I will. Like Steve Stone donated $10,000, you know.
Yeah, people like to contribute to successful things.
Yes, and whether it's money-wise or talent-wise or work-wise, any of that is, you know, when it looks like it's going to get done, you want to be part of it, and you should be part of it. So anyway, go ahead.
I think as far as volunteers go, I like to tell people you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, you can, nothing's too little.
Yeah.
If it's pulling weeds in a flower bed, that's awesome.
And if you're able to come and help take wallpaper off the wall for an hour, that's all you get done. That's an hour that somebody else doesn't have to do.
That's right. That's what I was. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have a dollar, if you're a kid and you have a dollar to donate to the Opera House, that's a dollar closer than we were.
That's right.
You know, and the more, especially what I love is those little small donations from people with kids, especially, or people with not very much money that are willing to give some of a pretty good portion of what little they have to help something.
I know.
Then they get partial ownership, and they'll tell everybody about it. And, you know, some of those are the biggest donations you can get, even though the dollar, there aren't very many numbers before the decimal point. But
it doesn't matter.
No. Every little bit helps a lot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a few more things. We're at the Stockade Wall. I want to let everybody know.
Oh, yeah.
Stockade Wall is coming.
No, it's not. It said so on Facebook. Somebody said that you've ruined the entire fort. Because he tore the wall down.
Yeah, Dean Zeringer, if you're out there. Dean with Ace of Trades is going to be putting it up this summer. I don't know when.
I guess you could say they kind of tore the wall down, but I think you could have bumped it over with a bicycle.
Well, we have a couple of the people that it did fall over.
Yeah, a couple of the palisades did fall out.
Yeah,
just on their own, fell out. So
the pickets or whatever you call those. Yeah, but that's pretty much it with the Museum Historical Society. I'll take off that hat and put my Historical Society hat on. We're doing. We're kind of working with the merchants and trying to draw people down to Craning Park. If you don't know where Craning Park is, we're trying to get people.
Yep, it's between the bank and the monument shop.
Yeah, so we got the walk-by museum there, and we put together a mail buggy, which we had donated. So that we had some volunteers help me put that together, and we're going to coordinate an art contest with the elementary school kids. Amy Klingshern's kind of helping with that.
That's awesome.
So once we get...
She's a good one to get involved.
Yeah, and Tim Barman loaned us a bunch of his garden tools. Mm-hmm. So we're putting up an exhibit of garden tools along with the... That doesn't go together, but that's the best we could do. We're putting up an exhibit of garden tools.
It's all
tools,
interesting.
And then the merchants are putting a little community garden out in the front. So it's all kind of a theme.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just something different, just to have something for people to come in and check out in Craning Park, because I think it's a beautiful little park.
It is. It's neat and right downtown, and you know, the walk-by museum is nice, but, and there's, and I'm pretty sure you know, in behind those false walls, there are shelves upon shelves of stuff that is all just cool as can be, and there's nowhere to put it.
I know.
You can't show it all.
Yeah, I got some dreams about that. I'm trying to redo that.
You might need to buy a block downtown to display everything.
Yeah.
My understanding is there's stuff in the furnace room at the museum and many things. Single bit of it's important to our history.
Yeah.
And there's no place to put it.
I think it's a problem everywhere in a lot of different
things. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's tough, but it's kind of fun going through all these boxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Another cool thing, we are looking at the historical site. Our last meeting, we decided that we're going to look at replacing that front wall of Crining Park. The wall that's been there. Do you know how long it's been there? That concrete?
10,000 years is what I've heard.
I thought so, too, yeah. It's crumbling.
The stone, is it?
Coming down. It's, like, crumbling. So
are they going to take those stones and re-mortar them, or are they going to do something completely different?
No. I got Steve Stone giving me an estimate. I'm going to go out and talk to him tomorrow.
So what are we going to do? Whatever he recommends?
We're looking at probably pavers with some type of seat, like the top being something like a bench type thing that you could sit on.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I love that stone wall.
It's gone. But, it's gone, Neil.
Yeah, but...
Go check it out. It's falling apart.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Seriously
Yeah, I know. I walked by it today and I saw the... Oh, man.
And the steps are crumbling, too. It's going to be a hazard.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Don't worry. it's gonna be beautiful.
Well, if you get a professional landscaper that's from Fort Recovery, whether it's Eric Judy, Steve Stone, there's probably a couple of other ones that might be. There's other people that know how to do that thing, that type of thing, or may not be able to physically do it, but have really good taste, and they're local. It's going to turn out just fine.
It will turn out just fine. Okay, now we can go on to the Opera House if we'd like.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll go to the Opera House. Be back in just a minute with Carol Judy, who's going to chime in this time. Back in a second.
One guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Be sure to stop into Wayne IGA and check out their new items in their grab-and-go cooler. They have a nice variety of fresh store-made salads and desserts, and now they also have some great ready-to-heat-and-eat meals like ravioli, meatloaf, chicken alfredo, beef brisket, and lots more. They also have containers of their store-made cooked beef, pork, and cream chicken. Check it out the next time you're up there and stock up on your favorites. There's a different variety of grab-and-go meals every day. Grab-and-go at Wayne IGA, your best friend on a busy night. Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the boys will travel up to Delphi St. John's and will bring you that game live. On Saturday, they'll head over to Burn to take on the South Adams Starfires in the doubleheader starting at 11. We'll bring you both of those games live. Just a reminder, there will be a $6 charge for spectators at the gate at South Adams, and we'll cover both games of the doubleheader. Get out to these games this week to help cheer on our Indians. But if you just can't get to all the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
What an incredible episode of the podcast we have in store. And especially on an election year, this is going to be very insightful.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
I just want to start by saying an incredible event is happening in Fort Recovery, Ohio, during the world-famous Harvest Jubilee.
Oh, yes, the second year of the Battleground Shootout Dodgeball Tournament. I heard last year went so great, they're doing it again.
Dodgeball tournament?
Yes. It's incredibly embarrassing you aren't aware. It's the 18-plus dodgeball tournament happening Saturday, June 15th. Get your team of 6 to 8 and sign up at fortrecoveryjubilee.com/dodgeball.
There will even be a youth tournament the Friday before. More information on that and other updates will be posted on the Battleground Shootout Dodgeball Tournament Facebook event page.
So go follow that.
You guys didn't just come here to promote a dodgeball tournament in Ohio, did you?
Yes.
Correcto mundo.
We're back after the getting a chance to listen to our president and former president talking about our dodgeball tournament. That was, of course, from Perry Hall. those kind of things are just awesome. Perry, what he does to try to help promote our town from wherever he might be in the country at the time. I think he's in Atlanta right now, but you know, when he is in California, he was promoting stuff. So anyway, we're talking with we've been talking with Kim Rammel from the museum and the Historical Society, and we caught most of that. And we're going to turn now to the Opera House, and probably Kim says that Carol's going to have to do most of the talking on that, and that's okay because both of them are full of knowledge on that. So what's happening with the Opera House?
Well, it's been kind of just sitting there most of the winter, as you've noticed, but yeah, there have been some things going on inside, and we're excited about that, and we're even more excited for the end of the week, because I've been waiting for over a year, it seems like, for the windows to go in. Ever since I had to run home and get my purple duct tape and duct tape a window in so that it wouldn't fall out on the street, I've been waiting for the new windows. And, you know, they got boarded up a while back because more of them were getting loose and the duct tape wasn't holding real well anymore, so they got boarded up. Mm-hmm. And we've been waiting and waiting, and we have been told, and I'm allowed to tell it, that this Friday the new windows come and we will see action and activity. And what we haven't seen though during the winter, the subfloor has been put in the upper level. We no longer can act like it's a barn and look through the floorboards and see the light coming up from below, you know. And so it is safe to walk up there now. So especially after we get the windows in and we have daylight coming in again, we can resume tours. So we are all excited about that because people have been wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
And last summer, during the time we had the garage sales last summer, we actually had a lady upstairs conserving one of our murals on the wall. And so for the last year,
what is conserving?
She reconstructed and repainted what was there, brightened the colors and cleaned and fixed it up. She didn't paint over it and redo her own thing. She brought it back to life the way it was. So she is a preservationist.
Yeah. So she knows this faded color used to be this color 100 years ago or whatever that would be.
Yeah, we wanted to get one done so we could see what it looked like.
And so it's on the back wall after you go up the steps and walk around the corner. So we have the original, what we currently have, what all of them look like, which is really hard to see the facial features. There's holes in them and things like that. And right next to it, we have the one that she preserved. So we can see the before and after and know how beautiful they're going to be again, because they will be back.
Yeah.
Whether they are conserved or restored, it's kind of semantics, but there are different processes, and it remains to be seen whether they all get the same process or not.
The chances of all of them being able to get that done correctly it's pretty small.
There are,
but they can do everything you can to keep it exactly
like
it should
be. Some of them have been destroyed. Some of them plasters.
Cracks and things that have had to be repaired.
And you might have to, some of them might have to even be maybe reimagined.
Yeah.
This is what it probably looked like. Mm-hmm. It's not all there, and it probably, this guy.
But it's really neat up there right now to be able to see the before and after. And they said once we get daylight up there.
Yeah.
More people will be able to appreciate that, and we will be able to resume tours again. So we're excited about that.
Yep.
We're still doing some planning as to what we're going to be doing in on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty well determined that the south side, where Brockman's Furniture was and where the stairs the used to go.
Brockman's Appliances, or, yeah.
Yeah, appliances. Mm-hmm. Where you used to go down the store, down the steps into the ceramic shop, that side. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the gallery, the meeting place, the entrance to the Opera House.
Yeah, kind of the welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Welcoming room, now, whatever. And we will have some of our historic.
And that will be with
there.
A new door, a new old door put in,
yes.
Where the door
yes.
used to be that was
yes.
covered up 50
yes.
years
the
ago.
The doorway will be replaced. Placed in there, and it will have the same look as what it did originally. And then the middle, the second space mm-hmm. where the door is currently,
yeah.
We're still talking and we're planning on how we're going to redo that. And it may become a rental so that we will have an income coming in to mm-hmm. help keep the building going and keep it up and running. So we don't have a specific person that's going to rent the place yet, but we're working with a few that have an interest, and what they're going to do with the building will determine how we put up walls, put in bathrooms, do those kinds of things. But mm-hmm. I think you're going to see some exciting action there. And hopefully this spring, we have been told that as the grants come in and the first grant gets used up and we're able to start using the second grant, we will be breaking ground behind the building for our annex, which will be staircase, elevator, all important for handicap
yes.
accessibility up to the second floor. Not only for those in wheelchairs, but for those of us that don't like those steps up 19 feet to get to the second floor.
I'm thinking, if I remember right, there's 28 steps.
26 or 25 or 26 steps, yeah. There's a lot of steps.
My knees start rebelling about 20.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the annex is going to get started. It is spring now, so it's supposed to start this spring. So we should be seeing that in the next couple of months. And then there'll be all kinds of action going on.
So what about the next building where our studios used to be? Would that be included in...
The back part of that, once we took mm-hmm. out the drop ceiling, we realized that when they'd redone that whole building, the whole back end is the roof was burnt.
Yeah.
Burnt so bad up there mm-hmm. that it was unsafe. So that back portion of that building will have to be removed. So that building is going to be shorter, but we're just going to put a wall up, and that'll be potentially a rental space.
So how deep would that go? 20 mm-hmm. feet, 50 feet?
Gosh, I'm terrible at
hard to tell.
Yeah. I'm going to guess about 40 feet.
Yeah, it's a good section.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
pretty charred up there, and it's like, and they actually had to reinforce it because it wasn't safe. It was sagging back there. So.
Now you tell me. Yeah. We were in there for three years.
You were in the front end.
Yeah, but it could all collapsed and pulled that roof down, too.
It was, once we saw it was like,
it
wow.
Yeah.
So we'll fix that. So that's kind of there. We're not focusing on that, because that's just another space that we have to deal with.
Yep. And if nothing else, you can put up, like before they put a wall in for us, there was just a little like partitions for cubicles kind of thing there. And he had a display, you put some kind of little display in there.
It's pretty much gutted right now. It's gutted down to...
Yeah, if you don't have anything that has anybody coming in there directly, you can put little displays or just something with information in there. That could be a real good bulletin board room or something. So we have all of that.
All kinds of things happening. Yeah, it should be really busy this summer. And I think in the plans is an off-site concert to benefit the Opera House. That's coming up in September. I think it will be at the middle school in the auditorium.
Oh, uh-huh.
And we'll get more details as we get to that, but that'll be a fundraiser to kind of showcase things that may be happening in the Opera House in the future.
So you're going to have, like, the Rolling Stones in there, that kind of
concert?
Something
like that, yeah.
John Denver, a tribute singer. He's really good.
That's good.
Karen Myring, got a hold of him, so we're excited.
She knows her music.
She does a little bit.
We're very grateful to have her. That's the wonderful thing about the committee.
Yeah.
Is we have like 20 people on the committee, and we have so many different specialties.
Yeah.
And people that are good at this and good at that, and it makes for a great group. So we are, you know, sometimes it looks like we're not doing anything because nothing is happening, but it's all in the background, and we do have a lot of plans, and it will be a viable space as soon as we get that elevator in so we can get people up there easily.
That's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the nice thing about it, too, is it seems like everybody has their own thing that they do, and they don't try to stick their nose in what somebody else is doing. Let Karen come up with whoever's going to be the guest on your concert, and there's not other people saying, "Oh, I think you should have had this."
No, everybody's just so thankful when someone has an idea.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
And they let them take care of it.
That's right.
And
that's
keep their nose out and let it go.
And I think we all work together very well that way. And
it is
going to happen. It's been a long time coming, but it is going to happen, and we're going to. Yep. See things really start to roll here in the next month or two, I think. Yeah.
So let me ask you, where are we on our monetary goal?
Monetary goal?
Yeah, as far as what percentage?
We need as much money
as anybody. We could use sponsors and donations.
But we're definitely well on the way.
We have done very well. Bless his heart, Sila Fever, while he was still with us, did an amazing work with fundraising and talking to the businesses, because he was well versed with the business aspects of it, being in business himself with these people for so long. He did an amazing job with fundraising and talking to a lot of the businesses, and we miss him terribly. But other people are stepping up, and we're still getting donations. You know, Nature's Green gave us money, and we're getting other donations. Some people don't like to be talked about, but they're still willing to donate to us. So,
anybody
out there, we're willing to help us out. We definitely still need donations.
Yeah, this project's going to be in stages. We'll get so much done, and then we're going to have to, you know, get regroup and think, what do we need to do next?
Yep.
What do we need to focus? It's going to be that. It's not going to be. When we break ground and build the annex, it's going to be, we're going to get it so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have to fundraise some more and get more money to finish things out.
Yep. And as we talked about earlier with some of the other things, any little bit, if it's especially kids, if they have a little bit of money, you know, take $2.38 out of their piggy bank, they're helping.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that. You know, some kid that doesn't, you know, they're 7 years old, they don't have a job. They're giving some of their money that
birthday money from grandma.
Yeah, or allowance, or, you know, money for doing some chores around the house, and they're willing to give, you know, a pretty good chunk of everything they have. That inspires people to help. It's a big deal to have a lot of little
absolutely,
amounts.
Absolutely, yeah. We're not expecting 10 grand from everyone. Those that can do it, wonderful.
Yeah.
If you can do 5, 10, or 15, that's $1,000. Yep. Yeah. Or dollars.
Yeah.
$5 is just as good a donation as $5,000. We take them all.
And one of the, I don't remember who it was, several years ago with our Christmas show, somebody stopped me a few days afterward and said, I think they had 4 kids.
Okay.
Everybody in the family donated some money to this. Every one of their kids, and I think all of them were under 10 years old, they all donated some money to what they gave to the Christmas show. That's a big deal when you have the whole family involved in helping a project, whatever it may be. That's really a really good thing.
It sure is.
And, other things
I just want to say, if anybody wants a tour, I think we can, if they can get a hold of anybody on the Opera House committee, and we can set it up. Because I really want to encourage people to come up and see it, and that it's the floor is safe.
Yep.
And one thing I'm excited about, those windows on the back that are on the east side, those of, when we put new windows in there, that's a view that we've never seen before, because that we had the stage flats up there. And those are all, we took those all down.
Mm-hmm.
All the stage flats are downstairs now. Or we have them stored off site. So they're all gone. And so when you come into that opera house, when you see those the sun coming in those windows, that's a that we've no never seen that before. Because the flats always cover those windows up. But I'm excited to see that when they get new windows in.
That will be fun.
It's going to be neat.
Yep. And so...
So come on up Friday morning with your camera and take pictures like Kim and I are going to be doing.
Yeah. I'm going to be there.
I think the rain will be over by then, I believe. But I was going to say, if it's raining, that might not happen. But however it goes, it's going to be in there. The windows will be here, and they'll be done when they can.
Coming soon, so we're excited.
Yep.
They better. I'll go track them down.
I'll be right there with you. I want those windows.
So let's go real quick over... Museum opens weekends starting in May.
May 4th, and we're open May 4th and 5th.
Yep, weekend. And then be open basically full-time from Memorial Day on through Labor Day. You have a number of... actually, once a month, the battlefield tours.
Yep.
And do you have any? Do you have some speakers coming in, or is the?
We're just doing the big event in October 19th, and it's two days.
So the battlefield tours once a month.
Then we have the one speaker, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sheila Painter are speaking.
And then in October, you have the kind of the. Well, it was beyond the battlefield when we had the presentation here last fall and winter. But that's going to be back in October. So
it's going to be an expansion of that.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page and or the website. Yep. You can get all the details. I mean, it's not none of that's coming up right now. Mm-hmm. So if we tell you and you write it all down, you'll lose the paper. So just go to their Facebook page and check all of that out. And it's going to all be just really interesting. Opera House is rolling along. I think we're doing pretty well.
We are.
Yeah.
Thank you, Neil.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you girls coming in and sharing all of this. And Kim was wondering how we were going to fill an hour, and we've gone an hour and 3 minutes. So.
We did well.
Yes, you definitely did. So let's take a break. We'll come back with Rocker. What do you got for us, Rocker?
The same old dog and pony show.
Well, that'll be good. Dogs and ponies right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Appliance and Electronics have been selling and servicing GE appliances for over 84 years. Stop by 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland to browse the large selection of appliances and Radio Shack electronics. Strolls open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting and Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery Psi Iota Zies Community Garage Sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. There are going to be bargains galore everywhere in and around town, so get to as many of the sales as you can and grab some great treasures. Maps to the dozens of participating sales are available in many of the businesses around town and also on their Facebook page, Fort Recovery Psi Iota Zies. Again, Fort Recovery's Community Garage Sales will be held Thursday through Saturday, April 18th, 19th, and 20th, all around Fort Recovery and the surrounding area.
Wow.
Are you ready for another year of winning, fun, and excitement? Well, brace yourselves, because the Win on the Wabash is back this August, and it's bigger and better than ever. You could be the lucky winner of some incredible prizes at the event, but you gotta be in it to win it. Visit our website, wowraffle.com, to get your toe-and-go and pre-event 50-50 raffle tickets today. And prepare to groove to the beats of Nico Moon and be blown away by that arena rock show. Non-stop entertainment that'll have you dancing all weekend long. Campsites and general admission sales begin April 1st on our website. That's right, April Fool's Day. No jokes here, just pure unadulterated fun. So what are you waiting for? Book your campsite, get your tickets, and get ready to say wow at the Win on the Wabash, August 23rd and 24th in Fort Recovery.
Welcome back to Insight. We had the site manager for the museum, Kim Rammel, and also Carol Judy, telling us a little bit about the Opera House. And now we get to rocker Randy Bonvillain with what do you have for us today, this day in pop culture history?
Hi, Neil. Like, I've been here for a whole hour, so.
Yeah, it seems like two.
April 9th, 1976, All the President Men is released.
All the President's Men were released? Where were they?
Were they in jail? Nixon's boys were in jail.
Yeah, All the President's Men, they were in jail. So they released them all on the same day?
No.
Oh.
There's a few prizes still there.
Oh.
Okay, 1965. I kind of did backwards on that one. The first MLB indoor game played at the Astrodome, Yankees versus the Astros. Mickey Mantle hit the first home run in the Astrodome.
Did he hit it out of the Astrodome?
Yes.
Who did?
Not out of it.
He should have. Can't believe he didn't.
I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, crickets on that one.
I thought it was awesome.
April 10th, 1953. The first colored... Now, pace yourself with this one. The first colored 3D movie, House of Wax, is released.
House of Wax.
Was that... that was a horror movie, wasn't it?
Vincent Price, I believe.
Yeah, but I was just going to say Vincent Price was... I think that I've seen a poster or something of that.
He pretty well... that was pretty much his career, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Horror movies and maybe the occasional... Well, he's on Batman.
Yep.
Not sure if that helped his career any.
It didn't hurt. They paid him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Probably. He probably got to ride in the Batmobile.
Okie dokie. I'd like to go ride in the Batmobile.
Okay.
Pretty sure I wouldn't be able to get out of it, but, you know. Yeah. 1957, 12 Angry Men... with a star-studded cast, premieres.
We won't remember any of the names of the people.
I didn't write them down either.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
It was found guilty of being awesome.
Found guilty of being awesome. 12 Angry Men. So, let's see. Here's several of them we know. Lee J. Cobb. He was the one I was thinking of. Henry Fonda.
Henry.
Ed Begley. I remember the name of E.G. Marshall. Jack Warden. Jack Klugman.
Yes.
Bianca.
Quincy. Yep. Quincy. Yep. So.
None of them alive, though.
You killed them all?
No.
Oh.
They are as a carp.
They died of stopping breathing?
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill says Vincent Price is Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Johnny
Bench. Every birthday time.
Oh, boy.
On Tuesday, we had Amy Wendell.
Yeah.
Amy?
Wednesday, Daisy Mullenkamp.
Now, did you also notice that, that on Tuesday, Amy Wendell's brother also had a birthday? Dan Leonard's.
Dang, I missed out on that one.
Yep, they're a year apart. Yep. And so who else? What, when, what, where? Daisy. Oh, yeah. Daisy had birthday.
Thursday, we got quite a few of these.
Oh, boy.
Steve Diller.
Steve Diller. I know
that. It's Bond Villain.
I know who that is, but I don't know him.
It's a girl.
Oh. In that case, I don't know him at all.
Madison Evans. And Priscilla Wilson was Breen.
And Jeff Vaughn.
Dang it.
Yep. Awesome.
Which, about forgot the most important part of the little operation.
Oh.
The citizen of the day.
I hope it's me again.
Not quite.
I bet it's Carol Judy.
How about Nikki Kramer?
She's a good one. Yep. I like her. You like her because she gives you the salty Haven thing.
Yes. Very good, Neil.
Now, when you mention her, you get to get a month's worth free.
Probably not.
Huh?
Probably not.
Well, then take it back. Somebody will give you a month's worth of something for free for mentioning their name.
Celebrity birthday time.
Ooh, celebrity birthdays.
From yesterday, Dennis Quaid turns a crisp 70.
Dennis Quaid.
Cousin Eddie's brother.
Okay.
Paulina Poroskova. How about that name? Try saying that five times fast. 59. Cosby kid Keisha Knight Pulliam is 45.
Probably not a kid anymore.
No. And she aged well.
Well, that's good.
Kristen Stewart is 34.
I think I've heard the name. Don't know who she is, but...
Twilight movies.
Oh, okay.
Lil Nas,
oddly enough, I didn't see any of those.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Lil Nas X is 25.
Okay.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
Okay.
Jackie Ivanko is a real good singer. 24.
Well, haven't heard of... I guess he's a she.
She. Today's birthday's Babyface turns 66.
Babyface Nelson?
No, Ken Edmonds. But they always call him Babyface.
Oh, he's a he?
See.
Oh.
Actor David Harbour is 49.
David Harbour. Never heard of him.
He was in
Don't be telling me that this one's a she.
It's a Stranger Thing.
Okay.
I'm guessing you've never seen that one either.
Yes, I haven't.
Mandy Moore is 40. That's a girl.
Okay.
Haley Joel Osment.
Could be a guy, because Mandy Patinkin is a guy.
Yeah, he's not that well looking either.
But he's got a great singing voice, and he was a good actor.
So did Ted Bundy.
I don't think Ted Bundy sang as well as... You do remember when Mandy Patinkin and... I can't remember who the guy was, would come on, just randomly walk out on Letterman, and they would practice.
Oh, yeah.
Mandy Patinkin has a great voice.
Haley Joel Osment.
And he was a guy.
Yes. Try this again. Haley Joel Osment is 36. He's a little kid.
Haley is a guy?
It's a little forest. Little forest.
Little forest. Like
Forrest Gump. He's a little forest. And Sixth Sense. He saw dead people.
Why did he do that?
I don't know. I'm just trying to move this along as quick as possible.
I'm not going
to
let you.
I don't want Kirby to be waiting out there in the green room. I'm pretty sure it's blue, but sure.
Yeah, well, it's kind of orange out there, but if he wanted a green room, he could just sit on the green at the Elks.
Singer Maren Morris is 34.
So is that a guy or a girl?
That's a girl.
Okay. 34.
Well, that was well worth a trip in, wasn't it?
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I'll see you folks in about 2 weeks. I'll be off next week.
You're mad at us? Oh, yeah. Community club. Yep, so you got to pull the Queen of Hearts people out.
Yeah, because I caught hell, apparently. Even when I'm not around, I catch hell.
That's it. We need you.
But if I was there, then Jill wouldn't have won the money.
Yeah, you'd have probably won the money.
No, I wouldn't have. I always pulled Colgate or the...
You came in. You were top Final Four last year, though, weren't you?
I might have been. I'm not sure.
He's already spent that $1,000.
I didn't win that money, but, huh? You know, it's like, Yep. So you think Ross would be happy that I didn't pull?
Well, he is, but he's like us. He's not going to let you get any credit for it. We're going to harass you no matter what.
Made poor Tiny pull. I'm out of here, folks.
All righty. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. It's going to be the Masters. Everybody's waiting for it. And if you're putting the numbers into your phone so you can call in, the Hastings Hotline, 567-510-0096. Back in just a minute or two.
Being brought to you in part by those community